I want to talk to you from verse number 14 primarily today. Ye are the light of the world. And that's my title, the light of the world. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Now, there are those that will take that statement and say that is a contradictory statement to something he said somewhere else where he said, I am the light of the world. I think we'll see there is no contradiction here. He says, though, ye are the light of the world. Someone has said that truth is the light of the soul. Now, if that is so, then how dark this world must be. Now, if we were to look to science for light, that would be a mistake, for into how many of nature's secrets has it penetrated? Of all of its favorite fields, little is known. The outer reaches of space, the depths of the sea, or even the inner workings of the human body and mind remain mysterious and dark to their great probings. Science knows very little of the human body. You just proved that to us a moment ago. They gave this guy a diagnosis of cancer. Well, now, maybe he had cancer. I mean, God can remove that, surely. But science knows very little about all of this. They don't know. They'll say, well, we don't know if he has cancer or not, so we're going to have to open him up to see. Well, boy, he would have been in a mess, wouldn't he? But they do this all the time. They don't know about the workings of the human body. That's why doctors are still practicing. Yeah, and they practice on me all the time. They say, well, we're going to give you this pill and see if it works. And if it doesn't, we'll try something else. They do that with me all the time. And sometimes it works. Sometimes I come in like this. Well, Doc, I don't think this was working, you know. And so they're practicing all the time. They don't know. So science certainly would be the wrong place to look to find light. How much more do we see the deep night of paganism? Mohammedanism. Oh, that one's hard to say. Mormonism, Satanism, and any other ism that you could imagine. Even among the most favored, the law of God is unknown. The gospel is unknown. I'm talking about in religion. You can look in any religion, any so-called denomination. The word of God, the gospel is unknown. God himself is unknown. Now, in reference to this sad state of affairs, Jesus said to and of his disciples, and by extension to us, ye are the light of the world. My, what an amazing statement. Ye are the light of the world. Now here we see three things that I want to bring to your attention. First, we see our relevance as the light of the world. Our relevance, God is light, and believers have his image. Now I want to say this, and I don't have time to go into it and say a lot about it, but we understand that Adam was created in the image of God. And when Adam sinned, he died. Now, people say, well, Adam began to die. No, Adam died. God told him, in the day that ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. He didn't tell him that you shall begin to die. He died that day. And then Jesus said, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So Adam lost the image of God, and he lost it for all of us. But that Adam lost, Christ has restored. So, through reconciliation provided in Christ, we who know him, who have been redeemed and born again, have received that image restored. And now we are light in Christ. Wow. Now, intellectually, the believer is light. Why? Because we are full of truth. Isn't that an amazing thing? We are full of truth. We are full of Christ. John said over in 2 John verses 1 through 3. Now, he is talking about those that have believed. And he's talking to that elect lady. Now, you can try and decide all you want to and figure out all you want to who she is. Now, particularly, I believe this. And you can believe whatever you want to believe. You can take it however you want to believe. First of all, I believe she was a literal person that represented the church. Now, you can think whatever you want to. That's what I believe. Now, here's what he said to her. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now, elect means that she was picked out by God. God picked her out. He set her aside. He chose her. You say, well, she chose it. No, he chose her. He elected her. I like that. Now, you can take whatever you want to do with it. But unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and truth from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son of the Father in truth and love. How does this come? Well, it comes, of course, by that election, but then it comes on throughout our lives. It comes through studying the Word of God. We have to study that truth, that light, that brightness. It grows in us through studying the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it comes through the teaching of the Spirit. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. How does this come about? It comes because we have received light. We become relevant because of these things. Now, morally, the believer is light, being an example of the truth. And then that truth is the moving power. It's the moving power under which the believer acts. Now, Paul said, he said, I just can't do anything else. I can't do anything else. It's the Spirit of God that is in me that causes me to speak and to do the truth. Now, when you're a child of God, that's all you can do. You say, well, I can do whatever I want to do. Well, you can, but that's what you're going to want to do. You have a force in you that makes you relevant to the world around you, and it's the Holy Ghost of God. When that truth comes in, that light comes in, and you become light. Paul said it this way. This is what it calls him to. He said, I say the truth. In Christ I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. That's in Romans chapter 1. Romans 9, verse number 1. The commandments of God determine the form of our actions. 2 Corinthians 13, 7 and 8. Now I pray God to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. It doesn't matter how the world sees us. The world doesn't understand what's going on in here today. They'll drive by and say, a bunch of Baptists out there again at church. They look at us and they think we're the stupidest, the weirdest people that there are anywhere. It doesn't matter what they think of us, because what we're doing is because of the truth that we have in us, and we can do nothing against the truth. But then by our lives, socially, we're relevant because the believer is light, being active in diffusing the truth. Now, there was a time back in the 70s? I get my decades mixed up. You have a few strokes and you'll get things mixed up too. I think it was in the 70s when this thing started going around about the lifestyle evangelism. Was that right? And a lot of us fought that. A lot of us fought that. But do you know that the Bible teaches lifestyle evangelism? It does. We are to live as children of light. We're to live in such a way that people see Christ in us. Now, that does not mean that we're not to testify and tell people about Christ. And what people were doing back then, Brother Don, a lot of them thought, well, I'm just supposed to live so that people see Christ in me and I don't have to tell people about Christ. Now, see, that's where the fallacy came in. But we are to live so people will see Christ in us. So that part of lifestyle evangelism is biblically correct. In 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? For ye are our epistles, or our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. I was pastoring a number of years ago in Hinchcliffe, Mississippi. We said Marks because nobody knew where Hinchcliffe was and hardly anybody knew where Marks was. But I was pastoring there and one day the phone rang and, well, no, I don't know if it was the phone, they were just talking, but they said, does so-and-so go to your church? Now, you know, when they ask you that, you just kind of draw up just about like an armadillo in the shell. You know, but I kind of drew up a little bit and I said, yeah, you know. And they said, you know, I thought she did. She always has a smile on her face. She never says anything ugly or dirty. She's always talking about the Lord. And she always dresses so modestly. And I said, oh, yeah, yeah, she's one of our ladies. You know? Now, that's what people ought to see. That's what they ought to see. And this is not to... My wife and I, we used to go to this little country, little corner grocery store. And we'd go in, we'd be holding hands and smiling and talking. And the Catholic lady that ran the store, one day she stopped us as we went in. And she said, wait a minute, wait a minute. And we stopped and looked at her. She said, I want to know what's different about you. Every time you come in here, you're holding hands and you're smiling and you're never cross with one another. I want to know what's different about you. And we stopped and we turned and we had the opportunity to tell her what was different about us. The difference was the Lord. That was the only difference between us and anybody else. What I'm telling you is there is an epistle written in our hearts, in the fleshy tables of our hearts, and it's going to reveal itself in our lifestyle. And if it's not, there's something wrong. Our relevance to the world by its conversation. And this I speak not of the biblical term, which would refer back to the believer's life in general, as recorded in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. But of the better understood definition of the word, our speech. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. But then not only the relevance, but our role as the light of the world. What is the purpose of light? What end does it serve? Well, first, light comes from above. God designed that the great lights that would rule day and night should shine down upon the earth, not up from beneath. That heavenly light, the Lord Jesus, also came down from above. John 3:13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, that which is in heaven. The believer's role is to spread that light. Now, let me say this about that light. Well, maybe I ought to wait. In our text, Jesus said, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." I kind of thought about putting that light under a bushel. Back in Gideon's day, when they lit the candle and wanted to hide it, they didn't put it under a bushel. They didn't put it under a wicker basket. That's kind of dangerous. That's kind of dangerous. They put it under a pitcher, something that wouldn't catch fire. I wouldn't put a... If I were going to try to hide a light, I don't think I'd put it under something to catch on fire. Would you? He said that no man that lighteth a candle hideth it under a bushel. He said nobody does that. Isn't that what he said? He said nobody does that. That's foolish. He said nobody does it. So since nobody does that, let your light so shine. Are you getting what I'm telling you? He said, if you've got a light, let it shine. Because nobody that has a light puts it under a bushel. It doesn't happen. Now, I hope you're with me on this. It don't happen. If you have a light, let me say it clearly to you, you're not going to hide it. It cannot be hid. Now, I think that's pretty plain in the text. You do not have to scratch your head and try to figure it out. It's clear in the text. Our role, our very existence, is to be a light. This is our role. Light reveals the existence of material things. Believers unveil spiritual realities, the invisible worlds. And men do not like to think of eternity. Think about what happened in Acts chapter 7 in verses 54 through 58. When Stephen was preaching, they stopped their ears and they ran upon him and gnashed upon him with their teeth. Why? Because when he preached and spiritual realities were revealed and they saw themselves as they were, they could not stand it. Light shows the form and nature of the objects upon which it falls. The life and words of the believer proves the sinfulness of the sinner and announces the coming condemnation. One of the old divines said that believers must put sin to the blush. But then, to those who are saved, light gladdens. I like the light. I love preaching. Now, does preaching ever disturb me? When I'm out of fellowship with God, it does. But I'm glad for the opportunity to make things right. I'm glad when it reveals that needs to be corrected. 1 John 1, 5 through 7, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's what light does for us. Notice our responsibility. And I've covered this somewhat. A responsibility as the light of the world. Now, this is a very interesting assignation that the Lord gives the church. He says, ye are the light of the world. Now, He uses the same direct article in referring to Himself in John 8:12, where He says, I am the light of the world. But here He says, ye are the light of the world. Now, how can there be more than one? You may ask, well, the truth is, there isn't. Now, if there is any misconception here, in John 5:9-5, He says, as long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. But He tells His disciples in John 20:21-22, He says, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So, when He is in us, then He is still the light. And the light is in us. And we are the light. So there's still only one light. Now, in the physical world, the sun rules the day, and the moon reflects its glory in the darkness of the night. Often, don't say anything until I get through what I'm about to say. Because He'll either reveal your ignorance or mine. Often we have preached that as the moon reflects the glory of the sun, we reflect the glory of Christ. That is not so. We do not reflect the glory of Christ. We are the glory of Christ. We are reflecting nothing. We are showing forth the glory of Christ because He is in us. And He said unto us, ye are the light of the world. And as long as we are here, we are to represent Him and we are to let our light so shine that He may be glorified. Now the church owes it to Christ to be the light of the world. The church owes it to the world. Paul said this in Romans 14:1. He said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. We owe it. We owe it to them to be the light of the world. We do. We take nothing away from God's sovereignty, His providence, His foreordination, His election, or any other of His character, traits, or anything of that nature by being what He made us to be. We are the light of the world, and we are to show forth that light. We must consider our families, our friends, even our foes. There's a world steeped in darkness with no idea that there's a way out of their misery. Our candle, we have failed miserably in shining it forth. It's time to let our light shine for the glory of God and the potential help of some sinner. May God get glory in our lives.